Well, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders headed into the New Hampshire primary with high expectations for a win. And yesterday, Granite State voters helped him meet those expectations, if only just barely. Sanders' victory was not nearly as decisive as it was in 2016, but he says the victory over a crowded field of Democratic candidates has set the stage for some key primary elections in the coming weeks. VPR's Peter Hirschfeld was at Sanders' election night rally in Manchester last night. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Mitch.
So you were in Manchester last night, as we mentioned. You were also in Concord, New Hampshire for Sanders' election night party back in 2016 when he was running against Hillary Clinton. How did the mood last night compare to 4 years ago?
Both were pretty celebratory affairs. Can imagine, Mitch. But as you mentioned, Sanders came into this year's primary with far higher expectations than he did in 2016. And the voters I talked to last night feel like they're building on a foundation that they helped lay 4 years ago. After Sanders' win in New Hampshire against Clinton, he faced a really tough road in the big states that followed. You might recall he lost South Carolina by almost 50 points in 2016. Sanders voters I spoke to last night feel like the path to the Democratic nominating convention in Milwaukee is far more navigable this time around. Eric Zlasky lives in Manchester. He's been on the Sanders bandwagon since 2015, and he said he thinks 4 years of Donald Trump has changed the political landscape in a way that works in Sanders' favor.
It suits, you know, Bernie's viability as, you know, to contend for the presidency. You know, the fact that we are becoming so polarized, you know, there's Trump and he's the anti-Trump, you know, so that's what people are looking for.
This race is still incredibly fluid, Mitch, and Sanders didn't do as well in New Hampshire yesterday as he did in 2016. But according to the latest polling averages, on 538, he's leading in Nevada, he's leading in California, and he's not terribly far behind in South Carolina. And that is a fundamentally different dynamic than what we saw in 2016.
Yeah, very different than 4 years ago. And I think that that performance that he had 4 years ago really did put his name in some of those states where he wasn't that well known back in 2016. Now, Pete, Sanders took the stage last night to declare his victory, to thank his supporters for all the work they've done on his behalf. What was his message, you know, directly to them?
Gratitude, of course. Bernie Sanders has thousands of volunteers who have been giving an astonishing amount of their time to knock on doors, to make phone calls. People have driven here from hundreds of miles away in some instances, paying their own ways, mind you. One stat I heard Sanders throw out this week was that his campaign knocked on 20% of the front doors in the whole of New Hampshire on Saturday alone. Wow. I haven't had time to fact check that, but it does give you a sense of the saturation level we're talking about here in New Hampshire. But what stood out to me the most was this sort of olive branch that he handed out to other candidates Tuesday and other candidates' voters, really. Have a listen here.
And what I can tell you with absolute certainty, and I know I speak for every one of the Democratic candidates, is that no matter who wins, and we certainly hope it's going to be us, we are going to unite together. We are going to unite together and defeat the most dangerous president in the modern history of this country.
I guess the reason that quote stood out to me so much is because this sort of sentiment was definitely not the kind of thing you would have heard Sanders say at this stage of the race in 2016. That was a brutal, knockdown, drag-out campaign between two candidates who did not like each other. Some of Sanders' rivals, though, namely Pete Buttigieg right now, have been calling Sanders a divider, saying he's not a uniter, branding him as this anti-establishment radical who won't be able to build that big tent needed to defeat Donald Trump. And as the field starts to winnow in the next few weeks and voters have to pick another candidate, Sanders is going to need a good number of them to join his side.
Yeah, that was really an interesting quote there. Certainly putting out the olive branch to those other candidates if he does go on to win. And Pete, traditionally, the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary, they do play this role, as you were just speaking of winnowing the field for the race going ahead. And that caucus in Iowa, so chaotic and really kind of a debacle, may have done less of that than in years past. I'm just wondering if Bernie's New Hampshire win, even though it was narrow, has done enough to put him in that strong position for the remaining primaries. Is he kind of the front runner now, the clear front runner?
Well, let's take those in two separate questions. Is he in a strong position for the coming primaries? I don't think you'd find anybody that could argue against that. Is he the clear front runner? It is way too early to label him that at this point. Pete Buttigieg actually has more delegates than Sanders right now after Iowa and New Hampshire. You look at the numbers. Sanders got about a quarter of the vote in Iowa. He got about a quarter of the vote in New Hampshire. That leaves a ton of voters he's going to need to pull in to win the eventual nomination. There are signposts that bode well for his efforts to do that, but there are a lot of other strong candidates out there and no doubt some wild cards too. So this thing is up in the air.
Mike Bloomberg might be one of those wild cards. Certainly it is going to be a wild finish and far from over yet. VPR's Pete Hirschfeld, thank you so much for joining us today after a late night in New Hampshire. Really appreciate
it. It's great to be with you as always, Mitch.